Wow, that was good. Forgot to mention earlier, women, not men, women, February 15th is the women's luncheon, time of fellowship. I haven't been to one, but I hear they're encouraging and they're good. All right, so I want to encourage you to go. Brunch, what did I say? Luncheon, brunch, lunch. Okay. Yeah. It's your opportunity to apply grace. So this morning we're going to continue the series Under His Watchful Eye, and I want to talk to you about being under surveillance. Now, surveillance is a big thing in our world today, you know, and kind of rightfully so in many senses, because the culture in our world has changed, you know, and things are always happening, and so surveillance has become really kind of, in many respects, a necessity in our society because of the things that take place. And, you know, but before it ever did, you know, I don't know if you've ever remembered, dating back, they came out with years ago, the movie 1984. And it was like the first taste of what they called Big Brother. Now, not the reality show Big Brother, where a group of people met in a house and the cameras are rolling and the tapes are rolling, but a different kind of Big Brother portrayed in the movie 1984, where you were always being watched by the government. Everything that you had done, and you were huddled and cattled and treated like cattle, and you were made to fall into a human uniformity and having to follow certain directions, and if you didn't, God help you, you know? Well, certainly that's not the case in our world today, thank God, but you'll find out that no matter where you go today, there are cameras, right? Walk into the store, cameras. I remember every day walking into Lowe's. Look up, there's the camera. I see myself walking and striding into the store. But on many corners, we have our favorite red light cameras, right? And I know you love as much as I do when you don't count that full 3 seconds and you roll. And safely, mind you, but they don't care that you safely rolled. You just rolled, you didn't make the stop, and you get that beautiful $80, $85 ticket. Which I confess to you, I've gotten two in my day, and that's it. I'm done. Even now, when you go over the toll to the bridges, the tolls, right? No more toll booths. I was amazed the first time when that happened. I was going over to Throg's Neck, and the booths were gone, but there was a lot of flashing going on, you know? And you're paying one way or another, right? Easy pass or not. But this is the culture that we live in. And then you go into security. We have CIA drones, we have the FBI, we have Homeland Security. Interestingly enough, maybe a couple years ago, I remember hearing that the NSA, I guess if they're given a court order, they can track your cell phone, even if it's off. And I remember it because it came out where a guy had committed a murder, drove into Staten Island and dumped the body, and he thought he was smart. He shut his cell phone off so it couldn't be tracked. But they can turn on whatever they turn on, and they could actually find out that even though he said he wasn't in Staten Island that day, that hour, at like 2, 3 in the morning, that's exactly where he was, because they got a court order to track his cell phone, and they found out that he was indeed there at the time dumping a body. This is the culture that's around us. In other words, you know, you almost get to feel like there's, like 1984, there's always somebody watching, but it's certainly not the case. Now, some time ago, Jim Carrey did a movie by the name of Truman. Anybody familiar with that movie, Truman? And in a minute, we're going to see a clip. But in it, it is this person who was born into this culture, Hollywood culture, and they did a reality show on his entire life from the day he was born into the world till now. He was, I think, when we see the clip, he's going to be in his somewhere mid-20s, maybe a little older. And everything he does, there are cameras everywhere. In fact, he lives in this self-contained world, and everything is ran by videos and microphones, and they control the weather and the traffic, everything. It's amazing. But after a while, he's starting to catch on. He's starting to see things. And this is an episode we're going to look at where he is actually now getting it. He's starting to sense that there's something going on, And he wants to make Laura Linney, who plays his wife, aware of it as well. Take a look at this.
That in just a moment.
Truman?
Fuck.
What?
I predict that in just a moment, we will see a lady on a red bike, followed by a man with flowers, and a Volkswagen Beetle with a dented fender.
Truman.
Look. Lady. Flowers. And.
Truman, this is silly.
There it is! There it is! There's the dented beetle! Yes! Don't you want to know how I did that? I'll tell you. They're on a loop. They go around the block. They come back. They go around again. They just go round and round. Round and round.
You know, I...
So Truman's getting it, and, his whole life is on camera. In fact, it's this reality show, and people tune in all over the world, and they are just so into it, you know? But his entire life is under surveillance, and in a sense, but in a much different way and in a much more positive way, so is ours. And this morning I want to take you to Psalm 139, and we're going to read verses 1 to 18, a psalm written by David. And this psalm really kind of just exemplifies and sets forth this kind of same message that God is watching over us. And everything that we do and everything, every place we go, he is monitoring and he's seeing. But certainly, his intentions for doing so are much different than the person they called the creator, who was played by Ed Harris in that movie. Let's look at verse 1. O Lord, you have examined my heart and know everything about me. You know when I sit down or stand up. You know my thoughts even when I am far away. You see me when I travel and when I rest at home. You know everything I do. You know what I'm going to say even before I say it, Lord. You go before me and follow me. You place your hand of blessing on my head. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me. Too wonderful for me, too great for me to understand. I can never escape from your spirit. I can never get away from your presence. If I go up to heaven, you are there. If I go down to the grave, you are there. If I ride the wings of the morning, if I dwell by the furthest oceans, even there your hand will guide me. And your strength will support me. I could ask the darkness to hide me and the light around me to become night. But even in darkness, I cannot hide from you. To you, the night shines as bright as the day. Darkness and light are the same to you. You made all the delicate inner parts of my body and knit me together in my mother's womb. Thank you for making me wonderfully complex. Your workmanship is marvelous. How well I know it. You watch me as I was being formed in utter seclusion, as I was woven together in the dark of the womb. You saw me before I was born. Every day of my life was recorded in your book. Every moment was laid out before a single day had passed. How precious are your thoughts about me, O God. They cannot be numbered. I can't even count them. They outnumber the grains of sand. And when I wake up, you are still with me. I confess, this is by far one of my favorite psalms. And when you take into account who has actually written this psalm, it becomes even more breathtaking because of David's life and some of the things that went on it. but he could acknowledge. But before I kind of go any further, I just want to say that as I was reading this, I had three really lords involved in that. I wanted you to take a moment, all right, along the lines of verse 14. Thank you for making me wonderfully complex. Your workmanship is marvelous. How well I know it. I want you to take a moment, especially if you're sitting side by side with your spouse, and turn to that spouse, or turn to, if you're not with your spouse, turn to the person next to you and say, man, I really thank God that you are wonderfully made, that you are wonderfully complexly made. Can you do that? Do that. Yeah, I don't know about you, but sometimes I look in the mirror and I say, you know, oh God, why did you make me this way? Why did you make, and listen, if you've been married long enough, you know, and Kathy and I often, Kathy and I get into one of those places every now and then in our relationship where we look at each other and I'll say to her, you drive me crazy. And she'll turn around and she'll look at me, well, you know what? You drive me crazy. And she's absolutely right. I know I drive her crazy. You know, but God has made us wonderfully complex. And think of it this way. When, you know, we may find it hard to get along with each other at times, and we question, oh God, why did you make me this way? Or why did you make her or him this way? But God doesn't look at us that way. You know? And regardless of how we come off to others, he just loves us. He watches off. The second really Lord I have is along the lines of verse 4. You know what I am, I'm sorry. You know what I am, believe it or not, I didn't have any coffee this morning. I don't know what's going on here. Yeah, right? You know what I am going to say even before I say it, Lord. How many times have you said, oh God, why didn't you keep me from saying that? How could that come out of my mouth? What was I thinking? Since you know everything I'm going to say before I say it, couldn't you have stopped me from taking my foot and putting it in my mouth? And when that wasn't enough, took that foot out and inserted the other one in? But you know what? It's just the way it goes. And yet, regardless of some of the things that we do and things that we say, God still loves us. Right? And the third, really, Lord, I have is this. And this is... This is where I want to move from with you today. Verse 1, O Lord, you have examined my heart and know everything about me. And yet, he loves me. He loves you. Regardless of what we see in ourselves, regardless of what others find in us when they're spending time with us, none of that turns God off to us. He just loves us. It's as if that you and I are going through the terminal in the Lord's airport, and we go through that full body scan, you know, and where everything could be seen. I don't know if they even exist at the airport these days, but I recall it from a movie I watched a long time ago. It was Total Recall with I'll Be Back. You see that? Imagine that you're going through a total body scan, and God sees everything right through our collarbones, everything about us, and yet nothing turns him off to who we are. If that was the case, he would have never sent his son. He would have never made the investment that he has made in many of our lives. And even after we have known him for a time, and we do some harebrained things, maybe I'm just speaking for myself, but he still loves us. His eyes don't roll. Maybe they do, I don't know. But you know, he just loves us. So when you think about serving a God and having a God such as him, there is a lot of peace and security in knowing that this kind of God is watching over you and over me. That he is carefully keeping an eye on you. And so in along those lines, I want to look at a few verses with you. We're going to go a few verses at a time. Verse 3, you see me when I travel and when I rest at home. You know everything I do. You know everything. He's got your back. Someone came up to me this morning and said, weren't you supposed to make an announcement about such and such? I'm like, no, that's coming now. But I made sure I said, thank you for having my back. That person came up. Right? He has our back, and then he's always before us. In every day, before you and I step out into it, he goes before us. And he knows everything we do. Verse 5. You go before me and follow me. You place your hand of blessing on me. You go before me. You follow me. Your hand is always upon me. This is a God who has us under surveillance for no other reason because he loves us. We matter that much to him. Verse 8. If I go up to heaven, you are there. And if I go down to the grave, you are there. No place is off limits to him. God is everywhere. He sees us. It doesn't matter. You could be having an awesome day, you know? Like you're on a mountaintop. You got a taste of heaven in your mouth that day. There's not like nothing can go wrong. The kids are well behaved. Things are coming together. The cleaning of the house went really quick. The job was smooth. Nothing irritating. And then there are days that are like from hell, where you feel like you're dying. Might as well be in the grave, where nothing is going right. Everything is a struggle. Everything. But God is there, and he cares. Verse 10. Even there, your hand will guide me, and your strength will support me. Even there, if you find yourself in a grave that day, when things are going bad, even there, your hand will guide me, regardless of how dark and dismal, and you will give me strength when I'm weak. God does these things for us. This is a part of the purpose of him keeping such a close eye on us. Because God's surveillance is a loving surveillance. Verses 13 and 15. You made all the delicate inner parts of my body and knit me together in my mother's womb. You watched me as I was being formed in utter seclusion, as I was woven together in the dark of the womb. Imagine God's hands involved in forming your nose, yeah, and the curves of your ear, and the distance between your eyebrow and your hairline. All the intricate things. How about having his hand and forming your kidneys and your lungs and all the other vital parts and organs of your body. God is in it. Because as he's making us and forming us, he's loving us. And I want to say that to you, it is no different now as we are adults and we are into our life and things are happening. God is intricately involved in shaping our lives. And sometimes it can be very painful, right? You don't always like the way life is feeling, but somehow you can trust that God is involved in that. And even in the times of pain, he is shaping us because he's been the God who has always had his hands on us, always. Not only in your mother's womb, but when you were a kid growing up, an adolescent getting in trouble as a teenager, running amok, whatever was happening, disobeying. God was always wanting to get his hands on us, and even to this day as adults, when things don't happen the way we want them to happen, things don't fall into place the way we prefer it to fall. His hands are there. And in every one of those cases, as it was in our mother's womb, he is shaping us because he knows what he has. He knows the preciousness of your life. He knows what he wants to do with it. Even though at times, and I'll maybe speak for myself, I don't have a clue of what he necessarily wants to do with my life. I'm willing, I'll listen, but I don't know exactly how he's going to shape me and mold me from one day to another. It's only by my entrusting myself and remembering that he has made me and that he doesn't just make us and set us in motion and walk away. You know, we're not like those little crank toys we have, the kids have, crank it up and you put it on the floor and the duck would waddle at Easter time or the car would race, you know. God doesn't do that. He makes us and he stays with us and he is shaping us and molding us and he's caring for us because he has a plan for our lives. Because he knows what he is dealing with, the precious substance of each and every one of our lives. Verse 16, you saw me before I was born. Every day of my life was recorded in your book. Every moment was laid out before a single day had passed. It's an amazing concept that God had our lives laid out before we took our first step. Every step, every moment of every day, he has measured out. What love. That you can rest in that kind of love, can't you? You can kind of take a deep breath and go, you know, regardless of what's happening here today, God knew it before I entered it. There have been times, and I probably said it from here before, you know, there have been times when I've gone through things and I know that I could say a prayer, and if God so chose, he could change the circumstance right there, that moment. And there have been times in my life when he has, but there have been times in my life, probably many more times, when he hadn't. When he hadn't. He was not changing it. And God was able to express to me and teach me and show me that he had his reasons. And even though I couldn't understand him, and I certainly didn't like the way it was feeling, I could sit back and say, you know what? Then I know there's something that you want to show me. There's something you want to teach me. There is a place that you want to take me, and there's something you want me to experience that if you were to intervene now and take this and remove it from me, I would lose out. I would miss out. I would learn. I would not learn what you really want to teach me, what you really want to show me. And it enabled me to go on with my day and my week and my month and my months. But he knew. He knew every day was laid out. It was laid out much like we lay out for those guys up in the booth there. They you know, what's on here right now is exactly what's laid there. Linda goes out of her way every week. Her and I work together, and she lays out this clip, and it gets printed up, and it gets put up. And they know when they need to click and move on to the next page. Well, God, it's like God doing the same thing with our lives. He knows what the next thing is. The next thing is. The next thing is. And he is there before we get there, which is a concept I'm really hoping that becomes more comfortable with our guys up in the sound booth, that we get to, you hear this, guys? We get to, when we're singing, we get to the, when we breathe the last breath in that last note from that one page, go to the next page, because they're all going to be ready to go there, okay? It's the same thing. God is already there. God is already there. He's already onto the next page, and when we open our eyes on Monday morning, he's already there. He's already there. He's already clicked, and the page is up, and we're going to move right into the day. And then, verse 12. But even in darkness, I cannot hide from you. To you, the night shines as bright as day. Darkness and light are the same to you. And I got this imagery. You ever see those, I don't know, maybe you're not into war movies. I am, I confess. There's a part of me that likes violence. I'm sorry. God's going to have to work me on that. But yeah, when you have those the Rangers are, you know, they're going into a foreign land and they're going to save or rescue somebody, and they're going at night. And what do they have on? Night vision, right? They put on the night vision and they can see in the night as if almost it was day, right? God has like this night vision. There is no place that I can be, no matter how dark the circumstances are, and even if it's metaphorically dark or literally dark, God is able to see and guide and work in our lives. He is not hindered. He's not hindered. Not hindered in your life. He's not hindered in my life. Nothing, but nothing hinders him. And this is the kind of God that we have watching over us, keeping a close eye on us. All right? Now, you know, it's just, this is God. And so, what should our response be? All right? Well, you know, going back to Truman, at the end of that movie, he had had it because he knew his life was so confined and controlled by the creator, Ed Harris, and the environment, and he just wanted out. He wanted out of this controlled environment because he wanted to experience life. Well, we, on the other hand, don't serve a God like that. In fact, he has put us in this environment, and he has given us the gift of free will. In other words, you and I can go and do just about anything we want to do. There's a freedom. And from that freedom should be produced a gratefulness. And that's what David ends this portion of the psalm with. It's a grateful response for knowing who God was and how intricately twined and involved in everyday life. And even regardless of David's actions and some of the things that he did and the poor choices and poor judgment he exercised, God loved him. God loved him enough to go after him. God loved him enough to reestablish him. God loved him. And God, if God does that, would do that for David, and he did, he does the same for us. The same for us. It's not that he looks at any of us and says, "How long have you been a Christian? Why did you say that? Why did you do that?" No, we say that to one another. I say that to myself. I'm like, "What's up with you?" But God doesn't. God doesn't. He goes after us and he loves us and he always seeks to bring us back. And I don't know about you, but some days, some weeks, it's a lot of bringing back. God having to come and place his hand on me and say, "Come back." And out of that is produced a gratefulness. And that is in David's response. David has a grateful response. In verse 17, "How precious are your thoughts about me? How precious are your thoughts about me, O God? They cannot be numbered." Verse 14, "Thank you for making me so wonderfully complex. Your workmanship is marvelous, and how well I know it." In verse 18, "I can't even count them. They outnumber the grains of the sand. And when I wake up, you are still with me." I wonder if that was a thought that David had when he blew it, when he took a census that he shouldn't have taken because he wasn't trusting God and he wanted to number his troops so he felt good about the nation and its power and its strength instead of relying on the living God who made it all happen together. I wonder as the nation suffered for that census and he suffered for that census, if he woke up and said, "You know, even though I'm waking up to this another day, oh God, you are still with me. You're still with me." See, we quite often think, and some of us maybe have been raised this way, or as children we grew up in certain churches, but we think that God is watching us, and the minute we step out of line and we're just not right, "I got you. I caught you." I worked for a company for 15 years, 15 long and good years, and I worked for a boss, no matter how well you got it right that day, how the job went, how much money was made, et cetera, et cetera, just that one time when you made a mistake on a job and it was like, "I got you. I got you." I'll never forget one day his son sat there and his son worked for him also, and we did a job together, and his father called him in and he said, he asked him like 3 or 4 questions. And every time it was the intention of catching him that he did something wrong. And his father questioned him, and he had the answer. And it was the right answer, and it was the true answer. And another question, he got it. And every time, his son told me afterwards, he said, every time I gave my father the answer, his head went down. And then he sparked up. "But what about this?" "No, I blah blah." And his head went down again. And he goes, "But what about that?" And he answered. He was disappointed because he couldn't catch his son in something that he might have missed on the job. Well, I want to say to you, God is not at all that way. He's not watching over us. He's not keeping close eye on us because he's just waiting for us to take one step out of bounds. And when he does, he's going to pounce on us. On the contrary. And you will never find that as you read through the New Testament in anything Jesus did with people. And as a matter of fact, it took a lot for him to get his back up. And he did with the Pharisees and the scribes, and that's a message for another day. But it took a lot for him to get to that place because of his kindness and long-suffering. You see? And that's the nature of our God. We have a God who sees us for who we are, and yet he loves us no less and every bit as much as when he first formed us. I want to close with a verse from Genesis 16:13, and it covers the words of Hagar. And many of us know who Hagar was. She was the mistress to Sarai, or Sarah, the wife of Abraham. And Sarah couldn't have a child, and so she thought it would be a good idea to send her handmaiden in to be with her husband so they could produce an heir, because she was getting older and older, and it just wasn't happening. But it kind of went awry, because as Hagar's child grew up, there was a lot of tension, you know? Things weren't going smoothly. And at the end of it all, Hagar was made to leave. And God said, yeah, this needs to happen. Because Sarah said it, didn't want to listen to his wife, but God said to Abraham, she's right. And God knew the reasons. It wasn't necessarily for the reasons of what Sarah was feeling and what she wanted to get her pound of flesh and a sense of revenge, but it was for reasons God knew and foreknew, because he knew her path in her life. And so she was sent out, and she found herself with a jug of water with her son, Ishmael, and things were not looking good. But God showed up, and because God was watching over her, he showed up to take care of her. And this is what she says, thereafter she was sent away, and she was out in the wilderness. Thereafter, Hagar used another name. You know how Jesus loved to change people's names? Simon, you'll be Peter. Right? Hagar used another name to refer to the Lord. She changed or gave him another name, who had spoken to her. She said, "You are the God who sees me. You are the God who sees me." And I want to ask you this morning, do you believe that? Do you believe that God has your life on video? You know, from the day he formed you to the very day he knows when you will return back to him, he sees you. He sees everything about your life. He loves you. Do you believe this? And if so, do you believe that he loves you, that he cares about you, that he has something wonderful in mind for each and every day of your life? You know, we think in big terms. I want God, and it's not bad. It's not a bad thing. It's not a bad thing. I want God to do this in my life. I feel he's got this call in my life, and he wants to do something. Every day, though, God has a purpose for your life. And he wants to use your life, and he wants to speak to you and walk with you and do wonderful things in and through you. Do you believe that? Or do you believe that man, I just got to get it right all the time? Otherwise, I'm going to disappoint him. Do you walk around believing that you're only as good as your last move? Well, I'm okay with God because I did this thing today. But tomorrow, if you don't do that thing or a thing like it, then you just, you know, then you're just not accepted by him. That he just doesn't love you. And that's the furthest thing from the truth. Because God looks in and he sees your heart. And he knows the son and daughter who is before him. And regardless of where you might fall short, how you may miss the mark, because we all fall short and we all miss the mark, he loves you just the same. And he knows that love is what keeps us coming back to him. That love embodies the fullness of his grace and his mercy and his kindness. Because if that wasn't the case, I certainly wouldn't be standing here today. Over and over and over, God, he just pours out that that kindness and that love, and it continually draws us back to himself, regardless of what kind of day I had yesterday, what day you had yesterday. It doesn't break the relationship. It doesn't. Remember, we sang that song today about seeing his scars. And because we saw those scars, we understand how much he cares about us, how much he was willing to suffer. Think about it before you ever turned around and said, Jesus, come into my life. He loved you while we were still yet sinners. He loved you. What makes you think that that's going to be broken tomorrow or the day after because of something you did? Trust me, if you break something big and you go far enough, he will come after you. Because you're under his loving surveillance. And I will close with this. Even if you're in a place today where you have done something that you feel has cast you out of his presence, I don't care how far you have walked away from him, what kind of distance you have gone, the minute you so kind of catch wind of it and you turn around to look back in his direction, the minute you turn around, you're going to find him standing there like this. He stands there and he waits. And it doesn't matter how far you've gone, because we're told in this psalm, he follows us. He follows us. How amazing is that? That even in outright rebellion, look at some of the people in scriptures. The list goes on and on. Jonah, he went after him. David went after him. He comes after us. And so, I want to leave you with that thought. I don't care where you're at today in your walk, because God's got an eye on you. Oh, I care about you. So you want to talk to me after the service and say, man, I'm all ears, and you know, my heart will be there with you. And I don't, when I say I don't, I know God, though, he's the one that has your life under his watchful eye, and he loves you dearly. Before we close, let's pray. Father, we understand in Genesis that your spirit roamed the face of this earth while it was being formed. Father, I trust today that your spirit is doing the same thing now as we sit here in this sanctuary. That it is moving amongst us. And just as it says in verse 1, you have searched our hearts, you have examined our hearts. Lord, what is it that you want to impress upon us this week? Where do we need to know that, regardless of this or that, that you love us? Regardless of how we look at others, or maybe measure, or judge, or size up, or even when we do that to ourselves, oh God, Lord, help us to not miss out on the fact that you love us, and that we are all under your watchful eye, and we are all construction sites in progress, and that you're not done with us. Lord, draw us to yourself this week. Lord, move in our lives. May we become more aware of you and your love and your watchful eyes upon us. In Christ's name, we pray. Amen. Thank you for listening.
dear Lord, who but you could be with us in all our deepest thoughts? Who but you could be with us in all our decisions? We thank you today, God, for your company and for your loyalty and your support like none other. In Jesus' name, amen.